And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. How stupid is the devil? How stupid is the devil? That's a question I ask sometimes. And you know, I don't think his stupidity, his ignorance, has any bounds. No borders to it. It's a never-ending cesspool of ignorance. And so, for his people too. His agents, his demons, and human beings who follow him. It seems that they have fallen under a strong delusion. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, because they believe not the truth, then God sends them a strong delusion, so that they will believe the lie and be damned. He offered them, don't blame God, don't point your finger at God. He gave them the opportunity. He gives satanic disciples the opportunity every day to worship him, but they will not. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, because when they start reading my books or they get on my website or listen to some of Tex Mars' CDs, they say, oh no, everything is lost. Oh, Satan is just eating up the world, and now Tex Mars has written this new book, Mysterious Monuments, and there's an architectural colossus growing across the world. Satan has everything. Woe is us. Oh, no, no. Listen, friends. The Bible says, indeed, woe to the earth and its inhabitants in the last days. For Satan, that great dragon and serpent, comes down to the earth, and he causes havoc. He causes mayhem. He causes blood, death, violence. I know that, but wait. You know, I remember old Paul Harvey had that great feature on his radio program. And now, the rest of the story. Well, today we're going to talk about the rest of the story. This is a story of victory. And of course, really, the victory was won on the cross. This is just sort of mop-up operations. You know, that's what they used to call it in the military. You've already licked the enemy. Now you got to sort of go clean up all the vestiges and the dregs that are left out there. But the enemy is in total rout. But you know, a lot of people don't understand that. In fact, I think Satanists have this wool pulled over their eyes and they actually think they're going to win. Listening to the music somebody sent me, and I listened to 30 seconds of it. And I turned it off. I couldn't take the noise, the din anymore. Had this satanic heavy metal guy, and he was saying, we're going to have a party in heaven. You know, it's going to be a victory down there. I'm going to really rule and reign in hell. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Friends, let me tell you something. I've been to psycho wards at hospitals. There's no ruling and reigning among the insane. I've been to cancer wards. My wife had cancer. There's no ruling and reigning among people who have cancer. And you're going to have something worse than cancer down there. It's going to be an unholy hell. I'm telling you, friends. Burning, fire, torment. You say, I don't believe in a hell. Well, you don't have to believe in anything. It's going to catch you anyway. It's appointed for a man once to die, the Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, afterward the judgment. You say, well, I'm not going to stick around for that. Well, you're not going to have any choice. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're so special? Oh, no. God has every hair on your head numbered, and he knows where you're going to be and when you're going to be there. For the rest of eternity. It's mathematical, dear friends. Now, I want to talk today about victory. More than that, I want to go back to my book, Mysterious Monuments, and a number of videos that I've done recently, Architectural Colossus and others, where I talk about this great last days world system, Mystery Babylon the Great, the new world order that's being built, the new world order of the Illuminati elite, and all of their satanic secret societies and organizations and presidents and prime ministers, chancellors and premiers and so forth. All of the system and systems of the world, all of their financial institutions, their money, their power, their fame. They're building up the new world order constantly, ceaselessly, tirelessly working on behalf of their master Satan to build this new world order. The Jews want to have a Jewish-run new world order. They call that Tikkun Olam, revising, rebuilding the world, making it into a Jewish utopia or paradise without Jesus. Of course, that would be hell on earth. But many secret societies are after the same thing, not just Jews. In fact, many secret societies are begun by Kabbalistic Jews into sorcery who are building this present day world. In all of the literature of the occult secret societies and authors and witches and magicians and so forth, I find a common thread. And I talked about it in Mysterious Monuments. They even have a slogan. It's the most important doctrine in all of the satanic world. It's called, it's just four words. As above, so below. Well, below is hell, allegorically, and thus above is earth and the heavens, and they say we're going to make it all one, bring it all together. The double-headed eagle of Freemasonry will have one body. The double-headed serpent of the Mayan, ancient Mayan bloodlust religion had one body. We will bring the two together. Satan will conquer God and thus set up one great kingdom. Jews call it Tikkun Olam. Some call it Shangri-La, paradise. Some say it will be the New Atlantis. As above, so below. Satan will see to that, they say. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, where it says that Satan, it shows you that Satan is a positive thinker, the world's greatest positive thinker. He makes five positive confessions. Now, if you've studied all that and you've read these best-selling books like The Secret that tells you to do this, and you've listened to these false, lying evangelists like Kenneth Copeland and the others that tell you you can make positive confessions and positive affirmations and decrees and get whatever you want, riches untold. They believe the world, through this witchcraft mantra, okay, these positive confessions, can create reality, create a new world through mind powers, through your own words, through speech. Of course, they want to be little gods. God created the whole universe just by the power of the spoken word, and they want to emulate him. In fact, they want to be greater than God. They demean, they degrade God and his son, Jesus Christ, in their quest for divinity of the self. And so they think they can create a paradise here on earth. They call this the great work of the Illuminati elite of the occult world, to make what is below the same as above. Of course, someday the Bible tells us everything will be together, a new heaven and a new earth. Peter said that in the Bible, but that'll be on God's terms, and he'll make it without human hands. His temple. A lot of people want to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that you cannot worship God in a temple built with human hands. He is now building his own temple. You say, where is it, Tex? I'd like to see it. Just look in the eyes of a child of God, dear friends. The living temple of God is being built. The kingdom of God exists right here on this planet. You say, where? It's in the hearts of those men who belong to Jesus Christ. They are the living stones. and he's the corner. Now, hope I have some time for that concept, because that will just blow your mind if you don't know about it. Because so many Christians today say, someday the kingdom of God will be here on earth. Oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. The kingdom of God is Jesus Christ and all who belong to him. And he is the Lord and Savior of that temple. And everyone who belongs to him is a living stone fitted perfectly into that habitat. Did you know, dear friends, I'm going to give you a little secret right now that most people don't know. God inhabits the prayers of his saints. I want to say that again. Someday I'd like to write a whole book just on that subject. God inhabits the prayers of his saints. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not. The Bible says it. God inhabits, that's the third time I said it, the prayers of his saints. When you pray to God, he takes up a habitation with you. Would you like God to come and live with you today? Then pray. That's why prayer is so powerful. God lives with the person who prays. He lives with you. He makes his habitat with you. How would you like to have God as your roommate? How'd you like to have God in your house? You think the devil can break into your house? Can take your loved ones when God's there? Well, you'll sleep pretty safe at night. Let me tell you something, friends. You won't have to worry about the strong man coming in and taking the house. Well, let's talk about a building today. Buildings. They're building this great kingdom of Satan, the new world order across the planet. But I want to tell you a little secret. Satan is going to build it. He's building it. It's here too. Just as the kingdom of God is being built, the kingdom of Satan is here. There are two kingdoms on this planet. Two kingdoms. Now I want to tell you about the final destiny of both of these kingdoms tonight. Because it's so powerful. It's so incredible. So important. And I want to title my talk today, Bible Prophecy Unfolding. Bible Prophecy Unfolding, The Four Horns and Four Carpenters. What we're going to look at today is the final destiny of the architectural colossus, the New World Order of the Illuminati. Its final destiny. You may be surprised. I know the devil's going to be surprised. The Four Horns and Four Carpenters. What's that all about? Well, we start off with understanding the devil's system here on earth. It's a scary system. It's a frightening. Everybody says, my goodness, look at it. Revelation 13, verses 4 through 6 speaks to it. It says of the people of earth, except for those few who believe in Jesus and truly worship him, and most people who worship Jesus claim to are liars and pretenders. But there is a church of the living God, no matter how small it is, that cannot be broken down, that cannot be defeated, even though our very body is burned. You cannot defeat the child of God, for his spirit, her spirit, shall live on. Now listen very carefully. It says here, and they, that is the people of the earth, worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And he, the beast, opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Everybody around the world says, look at the great new world order, the world system, the superpower, the soul superpower. Who is like unto this great beast? Who could possibly make war with him? And the beast opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. What pride. What audacious pride. Blasphemy against God. Because he's receiving all the praises of his disciples. The disciples of Satan. But hold on, friends. Yes, the New World Order is being built right before our eyes. Yes, I explore it in my book, Mysterious Monuments, and in my video, Architectural Colossus. But listen, God has a little, should I call it sneaky plan? No, it's not sneaky. He announces it in advance. In Zechariah, the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, what a great prophet that man was. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. Zechariah had a vision from God, and it says here, and the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, says Zechariah, what come these to do? Oh, friend, can you imagine? Now we're going to talk about this. Now, it's very important for you to take heed of Satan's sinister plan for world domination at this stage in our human history, the end of time. And the widespread prevalence and the ubiquity of Illuminist architecture reveals the wicked plan of Satan. It's far advanced. The material evidence is inescapable. It's all around us. Buildings, monuments, statues, highways, great vessels of free trade. We're literally surrounded on every side by Satan's kingdom, immersed in it, if you will. Now, I've examined this massive body of evidence in my book, Mysterious Monuments. And as you know, there's never been a book ever published like this in the whole world. If you don't have your copy, you need to get it. And I help you to discover these things also in my video, Architectural Colossus. And I'll tell you how to get them in a minute. Now, the question is why? Why does the devil want to build this Illuminist architecture? What is its hidden meaning and purpose? What are the insidious goals of its builders? We've talked about that a little bit. The reason why is the devil and his people are rebels against God. They're in rebellion against God. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So Satan, I'm going to admit it right now, the Bible says Satan is God, small g, of this world. John says in the Bible, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. God's people know who we are of. We're of that kingdom of Jesus Christ, but the whole world outside of that kingdom lies in wickedness. And it's the great majority. We're the minority. We're the few. Now, I want you to understand something. God has determined the bounds of men's habitats and the extent of Satan's dominion. It can only go so far. God has permitted Satan and his minions full sway and complete authority over every living creature, every inch of territory, except what God has made sacred and protects. He puts a hedge of protection around his people. It's his property. Devil, stay away from it. Did you know that the devil has to go to God and ask for permission to bother you if you're a saint? You say, oh, come on, Tex. I'm telling you the truth. It says so in the Bible, Job. The Bible had to report to God and give a report. The devil is an errand boy. Pitiful, defeated creature. God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yeah, I know about Job, Lord, but look at him. I can't do anything to hurt him because you put a hedge of protection around him. If you drop that hedge, then I can get to him. I suspect the devil may have done that for you. What is your name, dear saint? Is it Sally or Bill or Jack or Jerry or Sarah or Michelle or Wanda? I suspect that at one time or another, the devil or his demons have gone before God and said, Lord, we'd like to have that person. In fact, did you know that the devil actually went to God one time and said, I want to have that Peter. I want him in my kingdom. I want to just sift him. Just like you sift flour. Make him like putty in my hands. Jesus told Peter about it. The devil wants you. Did you know in the book of Jude, it says when Moses died, the devil came for his body. The devil's not satisfied with your spirit. He wants your body too. What's he going to do? Dragging it down to hell? I don't know. Well, he had a little surprise in store for him. Because you see, the problem was Moses was not a perfect man. And the devil thinks if you sin one time, you're his. Moses was not a perfect man. In fact, actually, he was a murderer. He repented of it. You know he did. And he did some other things. He lost his temper one time. You may have lost your temper before. I think I have a number of times in my life. I usually regret it. In fact, I always regret it when I do. There is a difference, of course, between righteous indignation and just anger. I think righteous indignation is called for, but anger? No. No, not really. Anger is when you let your self-pride and your ego enter on the scene. Now, the Bible says that the archangel Michael was confronted by the devil, and the devil said, I want the body of Moses. I'm come to get him. And Michael said, well, he's not yours. And he disputed with the devil. But how did he do it? I want to tell you a little secret. How do you dispute with the devil? What if the devil visits you tonight? I've had devils come to visit me. I've had them come by my bed. Devils shrouded by fire. But I knew how to combat them. How did I do it? Let me tell you, friends. The way Archangel Michael did. Here's how he did it. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't make any railing accusations against the devil. He didn't say, look, you old devil, you've done this, you've done that, you're the most evil. He just simply said, the Lord rebuke you. And the devil just shrunk and left. That's what I tell the devil when he comes up against Tex Mars. I don't say, I'm stronger than you. I know I'm not stronger than the devil. I don't say, look at all the good things I've done, devil. I don't try to defend myself against him. I know I haven't done enough good things in my life to deserve any merit. If I was going to get to heaven because of the good things that I've done, I better just call it quits right now. But when the devil bothers me, I say, Jesus Christ, help me. Jesus Christ, rebuke you. And let me tell you something, the devil he won't stick around. You have the authority and the power of Jesus Christ himself to rebuke the devil, and he'll leave you alone. James, the brother of Jesus, says in the Bible, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He won't walk away, he'll run away. But where does it start? Where does it start? Submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil. A three-step process. God first. Become obedient to God. Submit yourself to God. Swallow your pride and say, Lord, you're greater than me. I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Second, you resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Say, the Lord rebuke you. Get out of my life. Some people try formulas. Some people try all kinds of things. On ancient medieval churches, they carved stone gargoyles and devils. They think the devil can cast out the devil. Haven't they read the Bible? Satan cannot cast out Satan. You can't use a devil to cast out a devil. Somebody told me one time, what you do, Tex, take a candle and light it. When the devil's bothering you, his demons, or they're tempting you or whatever, you just look into that flame and say, flame, help me. I said, say what? Flame, help me? You're asking the devil to help you. The flame, the fire god, represents the devil. You better ask for Jesus to help you. You know, the Lord will even help you if you don't believe in him enough. A lot of people say, no, I have to have faith. You don't have to have any faith. I say, now, Tex, now you're being one of those really bad teachers. Let me explain it to you. Now, get the whole story here. The only faith you need is faith in Jesus Christ, not in yourself. Make him the object of your faith. See, I've always known something. That when a man comes to know Jesus, he, I believe, is saved when he comes to the realization that he is nothing in and of himself, and he calls on Jesus. There's a story in the Bible about a man who was asked if he believed, if he had faith that a certain miracle could be done. And he said something that literally, when I read it, it made me cry. He said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Do you see what he said? Basically, I have a little bit of faith, Lord. I have a little bit of belief, but I want to have more. Would you give me more? Now the Lord will give it to you. The Lord is merciful as well as just. I've always liked that story. Did the man receive his miracle? You better believe it. Oh, yes. And many times, friends, I've told the Lord Jesus, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." God will give you more faith. So when I said you don't need faith, what I mean is start with nothing and work up from there. And at every level, say, "Lord, I need more. I need more." And God will help you. He'll give you more. You know, till eventually you can move mountains. You can perform miracles, not by your power and might, but by God's holy power. And that's the only thing there is. Let me tell you something. Jesus himself said, "You can do nothing without me." Wow. We can do nothing without him. Well, God is Lord of the universe. He makes the rules. And I want you to know something, friends. The perfect world, a veritable paradise, was first made by God, created by God. It was enjoyed by Adam and Eve in Eden. But there was Satan, the serpent. He was able to tempt, deceive, corrupt the first man and woman. The fledgling human race fell. That was original sin. Now, I don't think Satan was happy, though, with what resulted. You see, because the Lord drove Adam and Eve out of that pleasurable paradise. And then he sent the serpent to the dust on his belly. That's what it says in the book of Genesis. Boy, that didn't work out right for the devil, did it? Then the devil says, "I am going to conquer this world. I'm going to set up my kingdom." Now you can read Genesis 6 to see one example of that. But that ended with the flood. And all of the devil's people got drowned. And believe me, they're suffering in hell to this day. That didn't work out too good for the devil either. But, you know, I'll have to say he is a positive thinker, just like in Isaiah. He keeps saying, "I will, I will, I will." But Isaiah said, "You won't. Your destiny is the pit of hell." Think about that. Five positive confessions. Isaiah 14, verse 12. "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." And then it all ends with Isaiah, the prophet of God, says, "No, you will not." And that's what's going to happen to all the positive thinkers. Because you don't need to think positive. What you need to think is Jesus. This is Tex Morris. We're going to talk about these four horns and four carpenters. That's very important that you know about horns and carpenters. What about four horns and four carpenters? How is it going to change your life forever? I'll tell you when we come back after this brief break. Hello, friends. Tex Morris here. You know, I want to tell you how to get my book, Mysterious Monuments. It's as big as a phone book, maybe bigger than most cities' phone books. 624 pages, footnotes, references, the whole thing. It's got 875 photos and illustrations. It's entitled now, Mysterious Monuments. And here's how you get it. Just phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada. It's $35. Please add $4 shipping and handling. In fact, $5 would be better because the postage is tremendous. Make that $40. Yeah, you'll help us out. Otherwise, well, we're going to be paying more for it. Send it to you. $40. Ask for Mysterious Monuments. That'll cover your shipping, handling, everything. $40 for Mysterious Monuments. Over 875 photos. There's never been a book like this one. Now, if you want to know more, there's my video, Architectural Colossus. Architectural Colossus. You'll be amazed at what it describes to you, what it shows you and explains, and how biblically prophetic it is. Architectural Colossus. That would be $25 plus $4 shipping and handling. $29 for the video. Now remember, it's DVD only right now. We may have a few VHS. You may want to call us, but it's in DVD, that's for sure. Architectural Colossus. $29 shipping and handling, everything taken care of. Or the massive book, Mysterious Monuments by Tex Mars. Again, our toll-free number, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us, send us a check or a money order or cash asking for Mysterious Monuments, $40 as postpaid, or the video, Architectural Colossus, $29. And again, that will take care of the shipping and handling. You can use your charge card, MasterCard, Discover, or Visa by phoning us toll-free. Or you can send us a check or a money order or cash at 1708 Patterson Road. That's Power of Prophecy. Our address again, 1708 Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, you can always go to our website, Power of Prophecy. That's all one word, .com. PowerOfProphecy.com. We have a sister website, and you can go there, ConspiracyWorld.com. And right on the homepage, you'll see this book pictured, Mysterious Monuments. Click on it, follow the instructions, and order it using your PayPal or whatever. You'll also see Architectural Colossus right there on the webpage. So you can order it on the internet. And either way, whether you phone us, whether you write us, or whether you use the internet, we will have this book or video in the mail to you. Now let's return to the program today. We're discussing Bible prophecy unfolding with the four horns and four carpenters on the way. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. You know, in the secret society called Freemasonry, they worship a god they call the Great Architect. The great architect of the universe. Ah, yes, Lucifer. He's building a kingdom right here on earth. That's the Architectural Colossus. That's the Mysterious Monuments that I unmask in my book and in my video. He's building amazing wonders that stretch across the continents, dazzle the imagination there in their audacity and scope. They're talismanic. They're magical. They're sorcerous. Satan's kingdom, steel, stone, glass, concrete, metal, monuments going up around the world. There's even the Illuminati City of Mystery going up in the capital city of Kazakhstan, the oil-rich Soviet, former Soviet Republic. An entire Illuminati city going up. You'll read all about that in my book. But I want you to know something, dear friends. This new world order, this architectural colossus, this gleaming planetary architectural colossus of Satan is doomed. It's doomed. In fact, did you know that God long ago embedded the seeds of eventual destruction for Satan's impressive but very temporary architectural colossus? I want to repeat that. God embedded the seeds of destruction. And they're working right now. The seeds are growing. Have you ever noticed when you plant a seed under the soil? As a little boy, you know, I used to get watermelon seeds. And I would plant them. And I would, or cantaloupe. And I would just watch them. And every day, you know, it was so much fun. I'd go out and see if I could see the little, you know, seedling come up from the ground. And you know, many times pretty soon it came up. Wow. And then it grew and grew and grew and got huge. And well, eventually, sometimes we had watermelons. I was so excited, you know, I'm not really a farmer. We just used to do this in the backyard. I was so excited, I would, you know, cut the watermelon off, you know, the vine and go before it got ripe yet. I never wanted to wait. I was always so impatient with wanting to see the results, you know, of the watermelon. Well, the seeds of destruction have been planted in this architectural colossus. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about what these seeds are. The information on this, by the way, is found in the prophetic book of Zechariah. It tells the thrilling story. This is thrilling now. I mean, it's exciting how this destruction is to be achieved by four carpenters. Now, first of all, remember, this is sort of interesting in its significance. Jesus, the Bible says, was the son of a carpenter. Talk about a master builder. The Masons, they say, we're the master builders. Oh, shut up. Jesus is the master builder. Jesus created this whole world with his spoken word. He framed it on and hung it on nothing. Talk about an architect and a builder and a creator. And there's imitators out there by Satan, but I'm telling you, there's only one true builder and creator. And he was the son of a carpenter. How prophetic is that? A builder. He built things. Carpenter. The son of a carpenter. Well, in the book of Zechariah, we learn about these four carpenters. First, the book talks about four horns, though. Horns. What is a horn? Well, according to the Word of God, if you read it very, very carefully, you will find that always this refers to a symbol of power. The beast has horns. And God has these horns also, a symbol of power. These four horns, it says in Zechariah, will come up on the face of the planet. Now, these four horns God allows to come up, but they're not of him. They're not of him. They're Satan's horns in this particular case. These four horns represent the satanic kingdom coming up on the face of the whole earth. The four corners, as it is said metaphorically, the four corners of the earth each have a horn of power. The four corners of the globe, north, south, east, and west, these are horns of satanic power, and they're able for a time to scatter the people of God. Oh, they attack the people of God. These horns of power coming up from the four corners of the world. This isn't a trilateral commission. This is a quadrilateral commission. Now, what are we going to do about these four horns? What is to be done? Don't worry, friends. You just do the job, the mission God has given you. Because God has already got something in the works. And it's the four carpenters that he's ordained. Now, this is the great mystery. Who are these four carpenters? Zechariah tells us about it. Their mission. What are these four carpenters to do? By the way, all you professionals out there, I'm sorry, but this is a blue-collar job. These are workers. These aren't just thinkers. God's the thinker. These are workers. These are carpenters. And they're finished carpenters. Well, but they're more than that. They also take down. They dismantle. Oh, they're good at that. Now, let's talk about that. First of all, the mission of the four carpenters that God is sent. Now, remember, there's four horns that come up. Horns of power by Satan. They control the whole earth. They scatter even the people of God. But then come the four carpenters to the rescue. They counter. They fight against the works of evil. They undo, that is, undo the dark and sinister magical world system that the grand architect of Freemasonry, all the secret societies, have built. The New World Order is under attack by the carpenters. These pompous builders of Freemasonry and of the Bohemian Grove and of the OTO and of the CFR and the Trilateral Commission and all the other groups. And I might add the Democrats and the Republicans in the United States and all the false religions. They've been building these little kingdoms within kingdoms as part of Satan's great monstrous artifice here on earth. But wait, the four holy carpenters are coming, and what a miraculous work they shall do. Let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to fray, that is to beat. Fray, F-R-A-Y. Look it up in your Webster's Dictionary. It means to beat, to fray, to pound the horns. They're going to smash their work, and then they're going to cast them out. Well, let me explain it to you right here. Let me read it to you in the Bible. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Anybody who reads about the New World Order and you're worried about it, this is the final destiny. Listen to what God has to say and not what men frighten you with. Listen to this. Then said Zechariah, lifted I up mine eyes, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he, that is the angel, spake, saying, these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns. My, my. Four carpenters. And they take out their hammers and they begin to beat and to pound. Have you ever seen a house that is scheduled for demolition, friends? Oh, they got bulldozers, they've got instruments, and they just tear it straight down. They raise it to the ground and there's nothing left except splinters. You've seen the great buildings. Well, we saw that during 9/11. Huge skyscrapers. Demolition experts come in and they just raise them. They just destroy them all the way down to dust to the ground. Huge towering architectural edifices destroyed. Now we have our great God. He sends forth his four carpenters, and boy, they've been well trained. They're demo experts. You ever seen the movie Demolition Man? Well, talk about demolition men. These are four angels, the carpenters, and they know how to do their jobs. Now, I wouldn't really call them blue collar workers. Maybe they're golden collar workers. We'll leave the blue to Satan. I want to change my mind on that word. I'm just trying to give you a little feel for what these are. They're workers, all right, but they're ordained workers of God. They're laboring, as it might be, in God's vineyard. They got work to do here on earth, though. God sends them down, and they bring whatever instruments they have. It might just be their words. It might be, and I believe it is, the words of power. The teachings of the Bible and the Holy Ghost is their help and their comfort and their aid. What happens when these holy carpenters come and fray, that is, beat to death these horns, smash their works, and cast them out? Well, I'm going to tell you the ending of it all. The ending of it all. It's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15. It says, now remember, this is after Satan's ambitious kingdom project is over and done away with. Don't you know that all of his dark angels must be crying and moaning and weeping? And they're so bitter and they're so beaten down. Their project's over. It's done with. The demolition of the fabulous but defective, that is spiritually defective, architectural colossus of Satan and his followers has occurred. Now let's see the end result. Revelation 11, verse 15 says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. on every issue of my Power of Prophecy newsletter, I have a quote. It's from Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. God gave me this quote. It's really one of the mottos, you might say, of this ministry. And if you're one of the people who love Power of Prophecy Ministries, I want you to know that you're included in this prophecy. That's right. You, my dear friends, are an overcomer. And here's what it says about you. This is the prophecy given to you. Text Mars is going to give it to you right now. You may want to get a pen or pencil or just turn to your Bible. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. I'm going to tell you what your destiny is. Everybody wants to know what their purpose is. Pastor Rick Warren of California even wrote a whole book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It didn't have anything about this in there. I think it was lacking. It was flawed. It was shallow. I'll tell you what your purpose is. Well, here it is. It says in Revelation 2, verse 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Well, yeah, the Jews, they're going to have their kingdom here on earth, Tex. Yeah, they're God's chosen people. Yeah, it's the Jews. They're going to set up a Zionist kingdom. Well, wait. Do the Jews today, most of them believe in Jesus Christ? No, they do not. Are they overcomers? No, they've been overcome by sin, and they're in subjection to the devil. Read Galatians 4. They're of Ishmael and Hagar, the bondwoman. They're in slavery. Earthly Jerusalem is in slavery to the devil. Galatians chapter 4. Read it for yourself. They refused to accept the new covenant by which they could be rescued and saved. This isn't a Jewish kingdom. This is a kingdom of Jesus Christ and his followers, and they come out of the of all nations on earth. Whosoever will may come. God is not a racist. A lot of people keep trying to get this ministry and put it in a little bitty hole. Square hole, round hole, triangular shaped hole. They don't care. They want me to approve of one race or another as better, as superior. Oh, there's black supremacists, white supremacists, Jewish supremacists, and I suppose there's Chinese and Japanese supremacists out there. There have been back in history. They'll come again. What baloney. Friends, let me tell you something. You came into this world with nothing, and surely, says the Apostle Paul, you're going to leave it with nothing. That is, of material nature. Dust to dust, the Bible says. You come from the dust, and you're going to return in your physical body. But the spirit, the soul of a man, that's what counts. Nothing's physical is going to last. What is this world going to look like 10,000 years from now? I don't know, but I can tell you right now, it doesn't matter to me. It shouldn't matter to you either. Okay, let's look at this. There's two things you need to do. Overcome. The Bible even in Revelation tells you how. It says you overcome through the power of your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Well, then, the blood of the Lamb is the most important thing, and that's already been accomplished for you. See how much help you have? All you have now to do is go out and give your testimony. Tell others about Jesus. Tell others the truth. There you have it. And in that, you will be an overcomer. Somehow there's power attributed to testimony. Now, everybody has a different testimony. I don't know how you came to know God, but I have found that many people find Jesus only when they've fallen down into the lower places. You say, what do you mean, Tex? Let me explain it to you. When bad things happen to you, You're down way deep in the valley. You're miserable. You're unhappy. You're sad. You're lost. You realize your lost condition. You look up then, and way on top of the mountain, there's Jesus holding his hand out to you. You're sinking deep in the water of sin and degradation, and you reach your arm out and say, Jesus, and suddenly he's there, pulling you up, rescuing you. I found that most people are needy. There's nothing wrong with that. They need something. They need Jesus. A lot of people think you have to be strong to have God. Oh, no, no. Jesus is there for the weak person, for the meek. The meek shall inherit the earth, not the strong. You will become strong, don't get me wrong, but not in your own might, but in his might. So you're an overcomer. How do you overcome? The blood of the Lamb and the power of your testimony. I don't see anything about military weapons in there. I don't see anything about even overcoming the government. I don't see anything about overcoming Big Brother. All that's material. All that's physical. Oh, I'm not against fighting for your liberty and for justice and all those things. Don't get me wrong. I'm for defending your family. Somebody breaks into my house at night, they better be ready for buckshot through the head, let me tell you. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about overcoming spiritually, because ultimately that's the only thing that counts. You overcome, and then you keep God's works unto the end. Keep his works unto the end. Oh, every once in a while you may fall. Get up. Brush yourself off. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Get back on the road. Don't veer off way off the path. Then you get up and keep going further and further and further till you're so far away you're lost. You never can find your way back. And he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. It's not a racial thing. It's a spiritual power. It's talked about there. Now, let me tell you something. After these four horns are beaten to pulp, after they're totally demolished and taken apart, dismantled, and disabled by the four carpenters of God, Zechariah in the book of Revelation tells us something else is going to happen. Everything's going to turn out all right. It's just going to be all right. Let me for those who love the Lord. Revelation 5, verse 13 puts it this way. It says, and every creature which is in heaven, this is the destiny now, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit more about your role in this, my role in this. Peter had it right in 1 Peter. You can read him. He talks about when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, they are fashioned into a living stone. You're crude. As John Anderson said a long time ago in an old country song, you're just an old piece of coal. But God begins to take you and shape you. He puts you through some kind of a process of his own. And you're born again, and you're chosen of God and precious. You're a precious stone. Oh, you're more precious than diamonds and pearls to God. Not because you're such a goody-goody, but because he fashioned you that way. Just like that piece of coal. Who wants a piece of coal? But somehow, through some natural process, that coal, we are told, becomes diamonds. Somehow, little pieces of sand and gravel, a clam can turn them into a pearl. A natural process. Well, God has a process that is supernatural. Better than natural processes. And then verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, ye also, as lively stones, you're alive. What about a diamond if it was living? What about a precious ruby or other gem that's actually living? Well, it says here, you're living. Are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says something interesting. It says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. My friends, Jesus is that chief cornerstone. Believe in him. The chief cornerstone. Wow. It goes on in verse 7. It says, the stone which the builders disallowed, that's the Masonic builders. That's the satanic builders. They would not allow it. Remember what the Jews told Pilate? He says, this is your king, Jesus. And they said, why, he's not our king. We will not have this man to rule over us. They did not want a habitation built by God or a temple built by God. They wanted to stay dirty black coal. Jesus was the cornerstone, and they knew him not. The cornerstone which the builders disallowed, it says here, the same is made the head of the corner, and he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them which stumble at the word of God, being disobedient. They're disobedient to God. They don't keep his works to the end. They're not overcomers. They reject Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what race they are. They can be Chinese, Japanese, Mexican, Spanish, a Heinz 57, Baskin-Robbins group of ethnic bloodlines. Doesn't matter. But what about Christians? What are they? They're God's chosen. Let me prove it to you. Not the Jews, but Jews and Gentiles who are chosen by God. Here's what Peter says about them. Verse 9 of chapter 2, he says, but ye are a chosen generation. That means people or race or ethnic group. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which, says in verse 10, in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dear friends, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're a lively stone, a precious stone, the elect of God, called, chosen, faithful, obedient. And God is the chief cornerstone of this great temple that he inhabits. And he'll inhabit your life. He'll inhabit your prayers. As for the four horns of Satan, his new world order empire, already, I think the four carpenters are on the way. They might be here right now. They may be working. And I think they are working in the lives of the saints because we're the overcomers. And we're going to destroy Satan's kingdom. His tyranny is going to be done, over with, forever and ever. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is Tex Mars inviting you to enter that great kingdom whose chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.